Hey guys, welcome. This is episode 250, and I want to thank you guys personally. At the moment, we are charting in over three dozen countries. We have tens of thousands of downloads, and frankly, I feel good about this show in a way that I haven't felt in a long time. I appreciate you as you've come along with us. I appreciate those of you specifically who have joined our Patreon. We have streams and movie riffs and commentaries and extra episodes and all the stuff that we've talked about doing for years in the works now. That makes me happy, and it makes me happy that you've come along with us. So, in return, we've done a terrible movie that you've been asking for a long time. One that scars you horribly. So listen to it. We did it for you. And thanks.
Hello, and welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, because we love most of some of you, we're doing our 250th episode for the 50,000 people who have listened to this, especially for those few of you in Reykjavik in Iceland who have listened before. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia, Defend Your Childhood, and Riff Run Center Provin. On panel we've got tonight,
Jeremy.
Hello, this is Daniel, contributor to Popdose, and by God, I want to punch Petoff in the mouth.
Matthew W. Quinn, who thinks this movie was so strange.
And I am Nick, who fell asleep for about 20 minutes, and luckily this is the third time that I've watched this movie, so we're fine.
That's probably the best review that we're going to get from this. He fell asleep for 20 minutes, folks.
Guys, we are talking about how far we've come and why Halle Berry doesn't deserve anything. Christ on a cracker. Anyone want to try to give the plot synopsis of this terrible
movie? We who are about to die salute you.
Matt, you've just signed up for giving a plot synopsis of this movie.
Yep.
All right, so Halle Berry plays Patience Phillips, this meek put-upon artist for a fashion company, who is going to try and deliver some artwork to her obnoxious, jerky boss,
yep,
who was the Merovingian in the Matrix sequels.
He was.
And she finds out that the newest makeup the company is putting out is toxic, and so they try to kill her. But she is raised from the dead by bad CGI cats who give her superpowers. And she proceeds to turn to some sort of leather dominatrix basketball star who jumps around like a bad CGI Spider-Man and expose the makeup company's evil plot.
Okay, now in that plot synopsis, Matt first and foremost got it completely correct. He didn't overlook anything. This is a movie called Catwoman. There's no mention of Gotham. There's no mention of Batman. Not of the Joker. God damn it, the woman's name isn't even Selena Kyle. It's Patience Phillips.
I looked it up at one point. She only shows up on the DC Wiki here and in the Catwoman video game. This is utter.
Jesus, there is a video game.
Yeah, apparently.
PlayStation 2 is a wasteland of nonsense, wow. Jeremy.
I guess you just swing around beating people with a whip.
Now, I feel like I should point out one thing. First of all, congratulations to the four of us, the three other of you than me.
We Hooray! Did
250 episodes on things like The Twilight Zone, Disremembered, Myopia Mornings. We were exploding in popularity. We're a bunch of white guys with dark hair. Congratulations, we're talking about a woman who has nothing to do with anything. I'm sure Petoff, when he woke up and finished masturbating that morning, thought this was about feminism. This movie is nothing about nothing. This is a Seinfeld of superhero movies, but at least Seinfeld would have the dignity to have Superman. This is such a sloppy mess. In fact, the Catwoman outfit comes from a horny friend who says, "This should be for you to pick up guys." And by the way, she would have looked better in the suit than Halle Berry, who looks like nothing in sight of nothing.
Well, there are so few scenes in this movie where we see, like, her face in the same scene when Catwoman's just bouncing around. It looks like a video game, and you can tell it's not her.
This movie has CGI buildings in every skyline shot.
This movie has CGI nonsense inside of nonsense. Like, Halle Berry playing basketball against Benjamin Bratt is half CGI. This movie is Dutch angles inside of Dutch angles.
There are no straight shots. Everything is shot at an angle, and there's this weird filter, yellowish. Movie is going to give someone seizures.
Speaking of straight shots, I was more attracted to Benjamin Bratt than anyone in this. If you want to picture someone well, it's the cool cop wearing cool outfits and cool leather jacket.
He's the only one who doesn't realize he's in a comic book movie.
But he at least acts. Other than
considering what movie this is, it's a good thing he doesn't realize he's
right.
in a comic book
no,
movie.
No, you're there. And again, it's easy to do a Catwoman movie, man. All she should be doing is stealing things, being subtly sexy, and then a Bat logo needs to be in the corner.
How did they ignore just so much about the established character?
Maybe it was one of those things they make a movie to keep the rights.
Well, except there's people who were involved in the original Batman franchise, like Michael Uslan. I'm probably right. mispronouncing that, but he's one of the executive producers of this.
I will say, for those people who really masturbate hard and look at this the Snyder Cut that's coming up, this is everything that they pretend to hate, but they miss the point, right? This is a movie that really could have been, if someone had foresight, this movie came out 2001?
2004.
If you did it a decade before, you could just do it with Michelle Pfeiffer. You already have the origin story, and it's good.
That was their plan initially, but then Burton got kicked off the Batman franchise, and so he didn't want to do Catwoman, and then it got kicked back into development hell.
Sudsy and Rigel, what's the documentary about Superman?
Whatever Happened to Superman Lives?
Yes, that's the one.
The Death of Superman Lives.
Yes, that's it.
That's the one you got to see because, obviously everyone knows Forever and Batman and Robin are done by the other guy.
They managed to get Kevin Smith and Tim Burton in the same documentary.
They weren't in the same room, though.
No, they weren't.
No, they never saw each other, but, that's the story you want to see because Michelle Pfeiffer is so good. And if you want this movie to exist, and, by the way, this movie wants it to... Pitoff wants it to exist in a Tim Burton world because it's all weird Dutch angles, long shots.
I don't even know if it's necessarily a Tim Burton world. It's like a coloring book version of a Tim Burton world.
Well, I was going to say, it's someone who read the Cliff's Note version.
It's Tim Burton on Molly.
That's right. Yeah. I was going to say that it's Molly, and then I realized she eats cat food out of a can, and I'm like,
oh my God.
He's licking shit for no reason. Academy Award winner Halle Berry is eating shit out of a can. You're in a bad place.
This is like some sort of strange acid trip of a movie.
And by the by, I know we hate Joss Whedon for a lot of reasons. For example, being Joss Whedon.
Oh, I was such a big fan of that guy, and then I heard about what an unprofessional dickhead he is.
But What does Joss Whedon say? I love women. He always puts women at the front. We want someone like that. Pitoff is filming a cologne commercial for 2.5 hours or whatever. This movie might be 90 minutes. It's 2.5 hours of him filming.
Now, I can just picture him doing the Billy Wilder thing and making Halle Berry do 40 takes of her swaying her hips while she walked in order to get it just right for the camera.
Hey, Marilyn Monroe could have given you gold on take one. You would still make her do it 40 more times.
No. Marilyn Monroe's Catwoman? Better movie.
Oh, damn.
Which is worse in terms of tackling objectifying the female lead, this one or Transformers?
I'll tell you what. Transformers is worse because her character doesn't matter.
I'd agree with that. I mean,
because at least here, Halle Berry,
at least
going to that bar and asking for a white Russian and only drinking the cream. Yeah, at least she's the main character. It's a stupid scene. And by the way, it would have been better if she pans over and if it was even anyone. Sitting next to her from The Big Lebowski. Anyone, if it was John Goodman, they're drinking a sudsy, right?
Drinking a sudsy?
Or an oat soda, excuse me.
I mean, I'd love for there to be a drink called the sudsy. I have to figure out what would be
so
in it.
What goes into a sudsy, old man?
Okay. The base liquor would have to be vodka, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm picturing...
Would it come with an umbrella or not?
No, no, no umbrella. See, I'm picturing a citrus flavor as well.
Okay. If I may, knowing you as long as I have, if we're going to have a drink called the Sudsy and it's not just a beer, it's going to be a whiskey drink of some sort, but it's a whiskey with fizz. So maybe a whiskey sour?
Not a big fan of sours, but...
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I love how 5 minutes in, we're already off topic.
What topic?
Well, we're 10 minutes in, and we got nothing else to talk about.
We
Turns
do,
out
but
Sharon Stone is using a chemical that's going to turn her to stone at some point.
I mean,
because
we could talk about
this. She's
Sharon
Stone, and she turns to stone. So fuck you.
Yeah,
you
and this thing
are.
Is talking. And I think they're trying to get it. They're trying to get in the story about how wasn't she? She got too old to be a model, and she's.
And her
happy
husband
about
is
that.
Hitting on a woman with dark hair.
I just realized something
like
that
half
makes
her age.
I just realized something that makes me super depressed.
Sharon Stone didn't care about anything.
Well, it's sort of a 6 degrees of separation Kevin Bacon thing.
Ah.
So in the Flintstones live action movie, that was one of Halle Berry's first things, right?
She was
the character. Rosetta Stone. They wanted to call her Sharon Stone, but the real Sharon Stone said no. And now, what, 10, 11 years later, we're in a movie where Halle Berry is trying to beat up the real Sharon Stone. And my God, that's just where my brain is at this point.
I will do in full disclosure, as you guys know, because you've been listening for years, and thank you, and if you're on the Patreon, even more love to you. We record one, we watch one together. We thought this was the 250th. We should watch this one together. I took a wicked nap. I've seen this movie 2 or 3 times. That's why we're talking about this. I took a nap because this movie is boring nonsense garbage.
Woo! Yep.
Friends here, they've poked me for this. The guys aren't only because they know it's nonsense. This movie is awful.
Well, let's even get down just into the aesthetics. First and foremost, the script is just terrible, even outside of the fact that it's not a Catwoman movie. It's they say it's based on Bob Kane characters. It's not. But even beyond that, what this is a sort of hodgepodge of a bunch of different superhero movies. So you've got like a bit of The Crow in here with the aesthetic of the city, except it's a lot more garish and night and neon drenched.
It is.
You got a bit of The Mask in terms of Halle Berry gaining superpowers somehow, and then at first being confused and pretending like her superhero identity is somehow different than her actual core identity. You've got some of RoboCop and the fact that she died and was resurrected and is trying to get revenge on the people who killed her. But it's just such a mess because those are such wildly different movies with very different goals.
Instead of The Crow, this is The Cat.
That's right.
Well, you know what? Fine.
Well, and the thing that bothers me the most...
They have this whole mythology they've... draw on about like cat women with superpowers.
Well, they pulled it out of their ass.
Well, and the thing that bothers me the most is obviously the Nolan trilogy revived the Burton trilogy that ended up with Batman and Robin, which is nonsense, but at least campy. This movie has no narrative, right? It's 2004.
They try to do the same camp thing though, speaking of Batman and Robin, where Halle Berry's talking like Eartha Kitt like 90% of the time.
What's the guy who does the horror movies in time? Is it Ty West?
Yeah.
Do a 1960s version, right? Like, because you know what this is? This is 2004. Batman Begins is 2005. That movie has grit and terror and, like, trust me, I love that trilogy. I do. Even the last one, which a lot of people hate, I enjoy. But it's a post 9/11 Batman series. And you know what it is? It has a fucking point. This movie is nothing but Dutch angles and nonsense.
I was trying to, like, was this some kind of weird feminist thing with, you know, taking on a beauty company?
That's what I was.
No.
Pitoff probably thought it was and then masturbated into a silk stocking and then went to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, it's about a woman who's meek and everyone pushes her around. And she becomes like a leather sex goddess. And
this is feminism by sitcom. This feels like a bad Golden Girls spinoff for 93 minutes.
Well, the creator of Wonder Woman was real big into being tied up, so to speak. And so, like, all of the comics that he was writing had Wonder Woman tied up at some point. That was her kryptonite, basically. And you're right, Nick. It feels like the same thing. Pitoff, in all of his glory, although we'll get into who some of the screenwriters are in a minute. There's five of them.
Oh boy, not good.
That tells you a tale of your own, doesn't it?
He thought he was being progressive, or at least trying to be groundbreaking, but in the end it was just, you know, his own sexual desires being put on the forefront. It was all for him.
Yeah.
To watch in a theater with his pants down.
I realize, well, Pitoff is Pitoff's biggest fan. Every birthday, Pitoff gives Pitoff another 4K release of this movie, and then he gets 4Ks of release.
Oh boy!
Gross.
We went there.
That's right.
We went there.
I didn't go there. Nick went there.
Yeah, he litters all over the place with his catness.
Catness.
Gross.
Wrong movie.
Yeah, mere catness. Hey Daniel, you want to try to give us a plot synopsis?
Matt did one earlier.
Yes, but we haven't even gotten to the beginning of the plot.
What plot?
Okay,
I see what you're asking for. All right, so it opens up with this flashback of Halle Berry floating in the East River, I guess, where she...
Floating in the deep.
Where she is talking about how this is her dying, but this is how she came back to life. And then we see what her life was before then, where... And this is weird. They're trying to establish her as this awkward person, but the way they do that is just by having her deliberately bump into every single person on the street that she possibly can. And it's just so phony. Then, I don't know, she gets to work, and she's got a horny coworker who's Lois from Family Guy. From there, she gets chewed out by the Merovingian, her boss, because she got some art designs wrong. She wanted to be an artist, but she ended up creating adverts for whatever this makeup company is.
Graphic designs for whores, which we
apparently.
By the time we're kind of riffing and raving, she turns into the Catwoman because the boss gives her this weird deadline of midnight the next day. Because the red isn't red enough?
Something like that. Apparently, she completely misunderstood what he meant. And then she ends up going back to the company headquarters. Well, before that, I think, is when she meets Benjamin Bratt, because she climbs out onto the ledge when she sees a stray cat and ends up standing on a goddamn AC unit.
And by the by...
And Benjamin Bratt thinks she's trying to commit suicide.
So would I, frankly, if she's doing that.
I mean, all of us have lived in a shitty apartment at one point or another. I don't know if all of us had a window unit. But you know what window units don't do? Hold any weight! I'm sorry, man. Like, this isn't Gotham City because no one says Gotham City once. But if you're living in a skyscraper, you know that even if you're a 103-pound Halle Berry, which none of us have ever been and will ever be again, it doesn't hold any weight! It never will! You crazy woman. I'm sorry. If there's a cat climbing along the side of your 200-story building, which, again, this is Pitoff. He films everything like he saw Pee-wee's Playhouse once and said, I can do that.
Or, well, to be fair, some of his directing style foreshadows QuickTime events in those video games.
Oh, my God. I mean, you're not wrong. You might as well be playing Grim Fandango.
Well, I mean, watching some of the scenes where she's jumping, it's like, okay, do I have to press X now to, like, dodge? What am I doing here?
This is God of War. Press Y to hump Benjamin Bratt.
Would she have called him boy during sex?
Oh, she would have totally.
All right, so after that, we get the scene Nick was talking about where she goes back into the company headquarters, and because apparently at night everything's just completely unlocked, she ends up in their research and development lab where they're talking about how their new beauty product will end up scarring people.
My God, this is such a stupid scene. I'm sorry. We've all worked in places that require a key card. You know what key cards do? They let you into where you need to go. It's not like you're there, like, down in the basement, like...
Yeah, you can't just walk into a research and development lab for the same reason you just can't walk into the CEO's office.
We're with a bunch of characters who've never existed looking at a CGI woman's face with eczema. And they're just like, my God, this turns a woman into eczema face.
Oh, these are when the two mooks start chasing her. And one of them, speaking of the crow, is who was that character? Michael Massey? Yep. Who did he play in The Crow? He wasn't the like big bad. He was one of the henchmen.
Yeah.
He is unfortunately the actor that was involved in Brandon Lee's unfortunate death, which it wasn't his fault. It was the prop guy massively screwed up, but still.
That's why I to this day believe that prop people are carnies, and that's why I don't trust any of them.
We'll get to carnies in a minute in this movie.
Yeah. You're right.
Because, my God, that becomes relevant somehow.
It does. Somehow I made an offhand joke.
But anyway, after that scene, she somehow ends up in, like, the sewer below. So Sharon Stone orders the pipes flushed. So they do that. She dies. But then, like I think Matt said, CGI cats bring her back to life.
And I want to make an emphasis here. The legend goes that Sharon Stone cared so little about this movie. In the middle of one of her takes, I believe it's her big pontificating speech near the end, she just answered her cell phone because she cared so little about this movie, she just said, I'm done.
Which, can you blame her?
No.
I don't blame her for any of this nonsense.
I wonder how much she got paid to be in this movie.
I hope a lot because, A, she's fine in this other than like the times when you can tell she isn't.
She was trying to do the Basic Instinct character again.
Yes, that's fair. Meanwhile, we have, I think Jeremy told me, it's Conroy.
Francis Conroy.
Francis.
The Joker's mother.
Yep.
When Halle Berry wakes up, she wants answers, and we have a story about Catwomen through the ages. And Catwomen through the ages, you know what? That's what I don't need. There's no mythology.
Yeah, she's looking for answers from this crazy cat lady who somehow has a very nice house in the middle of the big city.
In the middle of our street.
It's basically the up house.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I said that it shouldn't have been Frances Conroy playing this character. It should have been a Zelda Rubinstein, the woman from Poltergeist.
That's right.
Oh, child, you've become the cat woman now.
I'm going to go sit in a box. this woman, apparently they went to everyone who had ever played Catwoman. They all said no, which is totally fine. Because at one point we even see a picture of like Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. There's a bunch of Catwoman montages, including the cold open, the credit sequence where we have Catwoman from Egypt. God help us all. There's mythology here that no one cares about because
that's not who Catwoman is.
She's a cat burglar. I hate a lot of things. First of all, the metric system. no, but I was going to say, even the one in Dark Knight Rises is not great, but at least she's a Catwoman. Her introduction is her robbing something.
And that's perfect Catwoman dialogue, too. That safe is unbreakable. Well, no one told me it was unbreakable. That's who that character is.
Well, and the only time we see her really robbing, quote unquote robbing, is there's like a jewelry store heist, and then other people show up, so she becomes the hero, kind of sort of stopping them, and then she just takes the stuff from them anyway, which we don't see.
Which the actual Catwoman would do. To like prevent, I don't know, Two-Face from getting away with robbing a jewelry store, but in context, it makes no sense because we never find out who these thieves are, and they're clearly like a well-established team.
And then she gives pretty much all of it back except for parts of one necklace used to make claws.
And then they can play basketball against each other.
And then she accidentally stands up the police officer who basically, she leaves her wallet at the apartment, so he follows her back to her office to give her wallet, and then all her horny co-worker.
He turns into a man sandwich, which is not how sandwiches work. You need two men. There you see one cute guy and you know the cute guy, and that's what makes a sandwich. You're the meat in the middle.
She's supposed to go out on a date with him, but she stood him up, so she tracks him down to a basketball to a school where he's talking to some kids about being a cop and they end up playing basketball. And they're practically okay.
And the kids are like, you're too in shape to be a cop. Why aren't you in uniform when you're talking to us? Can I see your gun? And I think a kid actually says, can I see your gun?
And they play basketball against each other in front of the kids. It looks, and they're practically humping each other.
So is that scene better or worse than the seesaw scene from Daredevil?
I'd say worse.
I would say it's on par with the scene from Space Jam where Bugs Bunny is hitting on Lola Bunny and they're playing basketball again.
How about that scene in Big Mama's house where the protagonist dressed in Fat Woman drag and beats these three kids in a pickup basketball game?
This is still worse.
It's 20% sexier than that.
Still worse because you can tell that the two lead actors had nothing to do with the scene. Like, at least in Daredevil, you could see
Ben Affleck
and what's her name? Elizabeth Garner?
Jennifer Garner.
I don't know who Elizabeth Garner is, but Jennifer Garner.
Sister. Her non-union Mexican equivalent.
Oh, there you go.
The Simpsons.
You could see them on the playground equipment, on the seesaws, doing the choreography. They actually took the time to learn something. Here, it's just a whole bunch of quick cuts, so you'll occasionally see Halle Berry holding the basketball, but then it'll cut to a CGI model jumping off a wall, or it'll cut to a shot of just some random woman shaking her butt for the camera, which is supposed to be Halle Berry flirting with Benjamin Bratt, but...
It's
just so edited so bad, you can't tell what's going on.
And by the by, if it was a Catwoman movie, I don't need her picking up anyone other than Batman. Right? If it was a Catwoman movie, she needs to be in the middle of a heist, and the only meet cute we need is Batman looking down on her, trying to stop her, making a wink. And then she escapes, and he's like, that's what that's like. Which is a terrible line, but it's better than Benjamin Bratt playing basketball in his leather. He has a leather duster on. Again, I'm making fun of him being like, the kid's going like, you're too hot to be a cop. But he's too hot to be a cop in this. We need a fat dude with a donut in his hand being at the school. If anything... This should be, Sudsy, you brought up Daredevil. This needs to be someone investigating Daredevil, which I think is...
Daredevil's Marvel.
I know it is.
Yes,
thank
it's
you.
Marvel, but...
But isn't it, like, Joey Pants who's looking into him? There's a reporter looking into him. I think it's Joey Pants. Is it Joe Pantoliano?
God, I remember so little about that movie.
I mean, stay tuned. It's coming up in November.
I think it was a police officer, not a journalist, that was
trying
to find him.
No, there's a cop and a reporter, but whatever. Like, we need someone looking into it. Like, Ben Brad here is just like, huh, I'm a hot dude. You're a sexy lady. Let's figure this out. She gives herself her Storm haircut. With her own scissors, because you know what cats do? Cut their own hair.
Well, the film is sped up about four times.
Well, yeah, no.
That's the problem, man. Like, you know what Michelle Pfeiffer does? She looks in the mirror a lot and has a panic attack.
She was having a mental breakdown, and that's what established that character, which, again, Michelle Pfeiffer... In terms of the source material, that's really not who that character was, but she made it work within the context of the movie. Here, they're just... I don't even know what they're trying to do.
Well, and Sunzi and I have talked about this before. Jack Napier, as a character who becomes the Joker, Jack Nicholson's character, is a reference to Alan Napier, who played Alfred in the Batman 66, as my daughter calls it. But everything has a purpose. You might not like the fact that Joker has a name, but everything has a design. This movie just feels slapdash. If it was directed by someone who did, like, Playboy softcore pornography...
I'd believe it.
It's the same movie.
Well,
there's just less dialogue.
The club scene is clearly Skinamax stuff.
I want a white Russian, but with no vodka and no Kahlua, and she's just drinking cream... By the way, if you're a bartender, you kick that fucker out of the bar.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know people who don't drink in bars. You know what you order? Club soda. Because if you're an asshole who deconstructs a cocktail and just end up with a cup of sour mix, you know what you do? Get the fuck out of my bar.
Or fruit juice. Some bars will do fruit juice, but
you get a Coke on the rocks because you think that's cute, and at least they charge you $7 for that.
Yeah.
This is nonsense. All of this is nonsense. This is someone. I want to pull my hair apart, but I have luscious hair.
That you didn't cut yourself?
I didn't. Mm. You know why? I saw a Dune. And Dune is the one where I wanted to end my life. And after that, we're fine.
By the way, do you know who wrote this movie?
Jesus?
Yes, Jesus. There were a couple of people. Well, like I said, there's six credited screenwriters. First, there's Bob Kane because he nominally created Catwoman.
He did.
Then we've got Teresa Rebeck. I'm probably mispronouncing these. She's the creator of that TV show Smash about that Broadway musical that ended up crashing and burning. Then we've got a writing team here, John Brancato and Michael Ferris, among other things. They wrote The Game together, the David Fincher movie with Michael Douglas in it.
Masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. They
didn't they also write T3?
They did.
Ugh.
And then,
which we saw previous episode.
And then finally, we get John Rogers, who he does a lot of TV work now, but among the movies he's written are The Core. American Outlaws.
Ugh.
And the story for the first Transformers movie.
Two episodes previous. Here's the problem with all that. That tells you exactly what is going on here, right? Michigas. No one cared about this movie.
Matt said something interesting where it's like, oh, this is clearly just so they could hold on to the rights. But it's like, what did they do with those rights? I mean, Warner Brothers already owned DC outright, so it wasn't like they were in danger of losing Catwoman. And they had another Batman movie in development. What's the next year? What's the point here?
Nothing. First of all, Matt is 100% right here. Someone must have been afraid. I wonder. I couldn't be bothered, because who could be, about like almost the historiography of this, but like, I wonder if most of this wasn't filmed a couple years before. Like, it feels wet and soggy and heavy. Like, if you knew Chris Nolan the next year was making a movie, I wonder if they weren't thinking of something, because I like DC comics in general. Batman is one of my favorite things ever, like, if you're listening. Read White Knight. It's the most recent thing that really blew my mind, but like, if that's the case, they were burning on all cylinders and someone was like, hey, we gotta do something. Because this feels like we gotta do something. Like, that's all it is. It feels desperate, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, plus it just keeps repeating itself over and over. Like, we talked about the jewelry store robbery, but then there's that whole dynamic with her and Benjamin Brad about whether or not he trusts that she's not Catwoman, and then it turns out they find out that she is, because Sharon Stone sets her up to look like she murdered the Merovingian.
Well, and you have that whole handwriting guy who's like...
Oh, this is the stupidest scene in the movie, that handwriting guy.
This woman is like calm and mild. This is like, oh my God, this is a woman. Like, if the two of them got together, you'd be like, oh my God, lesbos.
What specifically is going on is...
He licks his lips. He's like,
well, what happened?
Look at that, why?
Benjamin Brad had a leftover coffee cup for whatever reason that patients had written sorry on because she missed their first date.
Right.
And then after the jewelry store robbery, she delivered cupcakes, which had sorry also written on it. And then he's like looking at the paper bag the cupcakes were in and the coffee cup. And then he knows, hey, this is similar handwriting. And so he takes it to the handwriting analyst. And he's like, oh, well, these aren't the same people. I mean, look at the O in this one. That's clearly a meek person writing it. Whereas this person writing the O on the paper bag is confident. They're forceful. It's like, that's not how handwriting analysis works.
The handwriting guy is just masturbating on the table. Why? Oh, my God. Like, a lady who could write a Y like that. Oh, my God. Huh, huh, oh.
It's not about...
Oh, my God. Like that. Why?
It's not meant to, like, be personality analysis. It's about, oh, does this match?
Yeah.
Which they clearly do, by the way.
He's like, yeah, these are the same two women. I mean, like, and but like that's the other problem. There's like 17,000 strains in this movie. One is like her becoming Catwoman. The other one is this weird romance, which no one cares about. And the other one is her stopping Sharon Stone, turning literally to stone.
Well, yep. First what it is she wants to kill the people who killed her. So she goes after the Mook first. And
I
then,
know who killed me.
Yeah. And
stay tuned.
No. Speaking of pulling out luscious hair, first it's about killing the Mooks, and then it's about uncovering a conspiracy that the beauty product is poison and is going to make people sick.
Literally turn to stone.
Eventually, but if you only use it mildly and then stop, that it permanently scars your face.
Right.
Which, and her horny coworker apparently was using it and was making her sick.
Who's the actress?
Alex Borstein.
Thank you. Mad TV and Family Guy's Alex Borstein, who's the horny friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we say horny friend, she is like, you're gonna fuck him. Like, she's practically
She ends up hooking up with her doctor at the end of the movie, right?
I want to emphasize the fact that Halle Berry is virtually non-sexual throughout this whole thing. She sees Ben Bratt and doesn't really care. Alex Borstein is like, so you're going to fuck him? She even buys the original Catwoman outfit.
Yeah.
And by the way, I, like most of my friends, Sudsy, if I ever bought you like sexy lingerie for you, you're allowed to never speak to me again. Like,
well, if you bought me the sexy lingerie.
But that's the thing, right? Like, ladies, you don't buy, like, if my wife bought you sexy lingerie, you would never speak to her again. Like, right? But that's what happens in this movie, right? Like, I looked at your curves.
I looked at you. I'm going to buy you something in leather.
It included.
I measured you while you were unconscious at my house. This should fit.
Are you trying to do Michael?
It's delicious.
Are you trying to do Michael Shea?
You
want to
live deliciously?
You sound like Michael Shea, you know.
Michael Shannon. I'm like,
to be fair, it includes everything except the cat mask. That's something that I think
she pulled out of the dumpster. I don't know. She bought.
Yeah, the old lady. That old lady gave it to her.
That old lady bought at Party City, and she wore on
right.
her head.
I can't return it. You might as well take it.
Yeah, why not?
It no longer fits on Frances McDormand or whoever.
Or maybe it's one of those Halloween shops that's closed for the year, and so she can't return it.
Party City, boyo.
After that, though, Sharon Stone frames her for murdering her husband. Then we get a scene from... Well, first we get a scene of her stealing some of Sharon Stone's clothes, and it's Bruce Lee's outfit from Enter the Dragon.
That's right.
Everybody, 250 episodes in. What's the Tom Servo rule of movie references?
Never reference a better movie, baby.
Never reference a good movie in the middle of your crappy movie. That's right, Nick.
I mean, we can almost speed to the end. The fight scene where she turns into stone face.
Well, there's one scene we need to talk about before then. She gets arrested by Benjamin Bratt, and she gets put in a prison cell. And then that one cat that was at the old lady's house, Midnight,
yep.
comes to see her and then squeezes through the bars to say hi. And then Halle Berry's like, oh, I'm partially a cat now. Maybe I can squeeze through the prison bars. And then she does so in like true T-1000 fashion, frankly.
All of us have dated women before. Almost. That's not how boobs work. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm so glad I'm not the only person who was thinking that. I'm like, this is Halle Berry. I mean, she's got some assets.
Well, it would have
and
hurt.
And yet, compared to Alex Borstein, she's relatively thin. And yet, that's not how boobs work. Yeah. She's like, and CGI boob here. And CGI boob here. I mean, I know that makes us our relative boob expert me, but like, that's not how anything.
Well, she still somehow manages to escape jail that way.
Yeah, through a magic of Photoshop.
Even her getting your cheekbones past those bars, you're crushing your face in.
Yeah, I'd be more wondering about her head.
or her butt or anything.
Human bodies don't work like that because, once again, Catwoman is not a actual cat woman.
No. Catwoman is a cat burglar. And as a cat burglar, she's just like quiet and subtle.
No, there's literally scenes of her purring at people.
And hissing at dogs.
And hissing at dogs.
And drinking milk and eating tuna fish.
By the way, when we're talking about this and purring, there's like a literal scene, I think it was in the jewelry store robbery, where she says something along the lines of, that would just be just perfect. And I'm like, God! When Eartha Kitt...
If you wanted to make Batman 66, do it!
When Eartha Kitt did it, it was charming. When Halle Berry did it, you could tell she thought she was above it.
Do it in the world you live in, man. Like, the thing about this movie, most of all, if I'm going to get full-on film major person, pick a time period. Pick a thing. Pick a theme. If this movie was, like, full-on 1970s ripoff, and you did it like full on. She was wearing like lavender colors with cat ears and a mask. That's a movie. If Batman showed up, this movie feels like nonsense. It feels like someone watched like the latest Die Hard movie. They didn't care about anything and made a Batman movie without Batman, right?
No, they remade Batman and Robin, basically, without Batman or Robin.
I think that's unfair to Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin was a better movie than this.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's got a 0.3 higher score on IMDb than Catwoman.
And to Sudsy and Jeremy's point, and Matt's point, it has a directorial point of view. This movie has nothing other than it feels like a whatchamacallit bar is going to come out.
Well, it feels like a bunch of music videos strung together. Did we mention, by the way, that Hoobastank is on the soundtrack to this?
First of all, it's Hoobastank.
Stank.
Hoobastank, like these out of
Hoobastank is my is in fact my Hoobastank tribute band.
Not Stanky Hoob?
Nope.
Stanky Who, that's the Hoobastank and Dr. Seuss tribute band.
Oh,
the Stanky Who's.
Oh, that'd be good. I'm doing Hoobastank songs to Dr. Seuss poems.
I'm the Lorax, I speak for the Stanky Who's.
You know what? I'd listen to that album.
You're welcome, America.
The Lorax in leather with a whip. Are you aroused now?
Yes.
As long as it's Danny DeVito, I'm there. The end of this movie wraps up with nonsense.
Well, it's first and foremost, it's Sharon Stone and Halle Berry fighting. And
no one cares. Yeah.
Sharon Stone apparently can't feel pain. But at this point, no one cares.
Because
they don't establish why Catwoman cares about this beauty product actually making it to market.
Other than the fact that Alex Borstein is in the hospital.
Right.
Right. So it's a lotion that makes you look young unless you stop using it and then you turn to stone.
Continuous use gives you marble skin, which you first see it when she annoys her husband so much he takes a swing at her and breaks his hand.
Poison, pharmaceutical, and beauty products. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does.
Just Black a little Mask. Bit. Black Mask and the first Batman movie where the Joker did the exact same thing.
89, where like Listerine and, I don't know, an acne rub made you do it because we have those characters, the TV, like the news people who are like, I can't wash my face. I can't do anything because...
Love that Joker.
Right.
Well, anyway, though, Sharon Stone eventually gets her face scratched up and falls through a window and dies. And then Benjamin Bratt's like, hey, I'm willing to forget everything that I saw here. Just so long as, you know, Catwoman can get back into her cell. And then we get a final monologue, which I didn't write a single word of that down.
She basically stands him up for a date again because she decides that there's really no room in her life as Catwoman for Benjamin Bratt.
Mm.
And she basically is wandering around at night in her dominatrix outfit.
And then she's literally walking into the neon sunset with a whip in her hand. And we see her in silhouette. And once again, it's clearly not Halle Berry doing that, but whatever. At this point, Halle Berry's only been in like 10 minutes of this movie. So that's the end, a walk into the sunset.
It's CGI nonsense. We have CGI cats, CGI Halle Berry. There's no Catwoman.
Yeah, Catwoman is not in this movie. I want to emphasize that. Catwoman is not a character in this movie.
I think we're out of time.
Well,
all in on Jeremy saying anything.
This movie blows.
Good. Daniel?
Like I said, this has got a 0.3% lower, 0.3 lower score on IMDb than Batman and Robin does. That's really all you need to know. This sucked.
This movie is so trippy and nonsensical and shot at angles and speed that'll probably make you nauseous. So don't bother.
There's so many things we didn't get into here. The fact
you're welcome.
You're yeah. Right.
The fact that, like, there's a scene we talked about where Ben Bratt is talking to a school. They play basketball. The fact that that sentence took me 4 words and it takes 650 cuts to show anything. This movie keeps cutting and cutting and cutting like it's a teenager in a bathtub. Like, this movie has no point to anything.
It's so, the cinematography is awful. All the weird angles and lighting and cuts. It'll drive you insane.
You want to talk about a movie that doesn't matter? This movie feels like it should have been a Corman movie to hold a copyright, man. I will say, I don't recommend it. This is one, if you show it with your friends, like, it'll be disappointing. Like, if you're doing a party and you watch a movie with your friends and have a few beers, watch a bad Friday movie. Like a Friday 13th movie. That'll have something to talk about. And yet, that's why we chose it for 250th. Gentlemen, thank you for being with me for this long. Daniel, you've been on most of these. Matt, you've been on the second most of these. Jeremy, you've been on the third most of these. That's why we do this together. So I appreciate what you've done. I appreciate you guys who listen. So thank you. In the meantime, we're going to keep doing what we do. This is our 7th season. We have thousands of you listening. So, thanks.
Myopia Movies is a product of Dude Letter Podcasting and is hosted by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Daniel Suttis, mixed and engineered by Nick Hoffman, produced by Nick Hoffman, Matthew Quinn, and Daniel Suttis, and our panelist is Jeremy Reigel. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod and is used under the Creative Commons 4 license. Find it at comptech.com. Please follow us on Facebook, at Twitter at Myopia Podcast, on Letterboxd, and rate and review us wherever you find us. Thanks.